from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Almost Friday! We almost made it! Oh my goodness, it's a lot more fun when you get to Thursday and there's a football game. And in case you hadn't noticed, or maybe it's just me, the Thursday metamorphosis into a Friday tends to be a little faster paced, a little more up-tempo, a little more chaotic, I gotta say, especially because I'm going straight from work to the airport in a few hours. So this is not typical. It's not a typical weekend for me, but do have to fly to Dallas on Friday morning. So it was a bunch of trying to get ready, make sure my husband got to the airport, so he's already gone, make sure the dog got to where she's going for the weekend, take care of the cat, do the dishes, get the last of the food out, take out the trash, blah, blah, blah. Oh, hey, there's football. So yeah, it was a bunch of my other life and my football life colliding, but got everything done and really enjoyed this game that went down to the wire, even if it wasn't played in a way that was aesthetically pleasing the entire time.
It's exciting!
And just in time for the rest of the show, we've got up on our show Twix the first After Hours Game of the Week poll. Are you ready? Now, this is where people start to yell at us. They get upset. Are you kidding? Why did you pick those games? Well, we just pick four that we think are good candidates. But early in the season, it's kind of hard to know which games are going to be the good games. And there's something to sink your teeth into, something that intrigues in every single game. So yes, you can yell if you like, but the poll is up and you can tell us if you think one of these should be the After Hours Game of the Week or if you want to go a different direction. But we'll talk about these games as we go through. Of course, we've got this Friday night affair between the Packers and the Eagles in Brazil. They were out practicing on Thursday. It was Thursday. They were out practicing. Kind of interesting, too, the different strategies. I don't know if this will come into play. But the Eagles have chosen to stay near the airport. So they wanted to mitigate having to deal with city traffic, having to deal with the distractions or some of the risks, the dangers of being in the city. They chose to stay at the airport, which is much closer to the stadium where this game will be held. They're actually staying in an airport hotel. They just wanted to make it as seamless and as pain-free as possible. That's what the Eagles are doing. The Packers chose to stay in the city, the heart of São Paulo. And so for that reason, what we're hearing is that every time they want to go to the stadium, including practice, but for the game on Friday, it's an hour and a half to 2 hours because of the crazy traffic in that city. It's going to take them that long in the congestion to get to and from the stadium, which is rough. So I wonder if they'll reconsider. And then you think about the warnings. I know security's been beefed up, but the fact that the NFL is advising players and coaches and staff members to stay in their hotels and to not really venture out and get all kinds of crazy, don't want to make yourself a target, that kind of thing. Don't take unnecessary risks. Well, here are the Packers who stayed in a different place as the Eagles, and they're going to have to deal with the traffic, even though there's not a whole lot of benefit that comes from staying in the city. At least that's the way that's the way it's been portrayed. Now, I suppose some of those Packers could choose to go out and walk around the city, maybe take advantage of the city and the opportunities. But if they don't, well, then you're just talking about a really long commute to and from the stadium. But that's an intriguing game for a lot of reasons. First one in Brazil, but also the fact that it's a Friday night, week number one. It's the Packers and it's the Eagles, two of the top teams, at least going into 2024 from the NFC. We've also given you the Dolphins. Tyreek Hill got paid. Jalen Waddle's ready to go. Tua led the NFL in passing yards last season. And what do we know about Mike McDaniel? He is using the number 24 everywhere he goes. Every single day he's highlighting the number 24 because it's been 24 years since the Dolphins won a playoff game. Now they will take on Jacksonville. And I think this is not just a fun Florida clash, but it's also an interesting season for the Jaguars for a bunch of reasons. But number one being, after they crashed and burned out at the end of 23, you got to think that Doug Peterson and some of the other coaching staff members, but also some of the players, contracts that are up, they're under scrutiny and maybe feeling the white hot spotlight and the pressure because if they fail to capitalize on this season, and we're talking about another one in the prime of Trevor Lawrence's career, but they do have good pieces around him. If they, now knowing they have a fight in the AFC South against the Texans, if they were to come out and be mediocre this season, and not even get to the point where they were last year when they had, well, I think it was a 3-game lead in the division before they tanked, not on purpose. If they don't make something of 2024, well, then I think you could see some changes. So that's intriguing. But also Trevor Lawrence, I mean, two of the 3 years that he's been in the league, it's kind of been a mess. Either a mess all the way through the Urban Meyer season, which was his rookie year, or last year where, yeah, he was banged up, couldn't stop turning the ball over. The Jaguars were terrible in the final 6 weeks of the season. All right, another option for the After Hours Game of the Week. In our first poll, I just retweeted at A-Law Radio, also on our show account at Amy After Hours, and then our Facebook page, Pete. Actually, I don't even think you have access to our Facebook page yet. Trust me, you don't want it, but I need to give it. I need to give it to you. I'll put this poll up there, and then we'll work on that over the weekend. So the third option we've given you is the Dallas Cowboys and the Cleveland Browns, and it's not just quarterback questions. And I don't know that you have questions about Dak necessarily on the field, but certainly questions about Deshaun Watson and the fact that so far the Browns are not getting their money's worth from his guaranteed deal that they used to lure him to the shores of Lake Erie. And so for the Cleveland Browns, is Deshaun completely healthy? I really can't wait to see Nick Chubb, though I know he's not available for the first month. That defense was world-class last year. In answer to our question that we put up on our last show, what I asked you was to tell me the most significant question facing your team in 2024. And I saw one Browns fan who posted on Facebook, as Deshaun goes, so go the Browns. I couldn't disagree with that more. I actually believe that as much as Deshaun could elevate the Browns and their offense, that the Browns approved using 5 different quarterbacks last year. They can't, and not having Nick Chubb, they can win without Deshaun. Unfortunately for them, they're tied to him, like it or not, for this guaranteed contract. I don't know if they have buyer's remorse, but we haven't yet seen him for a full season since, now the first one there was the suspension, but they haven't gotten a full year out of him since they paid him or since they signed him to that deal. But there's a lot more about the Browns that is intriguing. Really excited to see what Myles Garrett does this year. And that defense is just so tough and physical and confident. So the Browns and the Cowboys, and then the Monday night game a year later. Will Aaron Rodgers survive more than 4 snaps in the new season? Please, Lord, we cannot lose him again. It just, and I'm not saying like we, as in we all love Aaron Rodgers, but just that would be so Jets. They sign an Aaron Rodgers and then two seasons of him after building an entire roster around him and pinning all of their franchise hopes to this future Hall of Famer. If they lose him again to injury, I feel like the Jets might implode from the inside. Just, are you kidding me?
I might implode from the inside.
It can't happen again. It can't happen again. And Aaron Rodgers has much higher expectations than just four snaps in 2024.
I mean, I've always kind of played with something on my shoulder. You got to, you know, manufacture things from time to time. But, yeah, I mean, it kind of goes back to the prove it. Who would I need to prove to? Just myself at this point. So, but I have a lot of pride in my performance. So when I take the field, I expect greatness.
Oh, he may think he only has to prove it to himself. I would disagree with that. Maybe he doesn't care about proving it to anyone else, but I think there are a lot of people around the NFL, but also a lot of people within the Jets fan base who really need him to prove that at 40 years old, and he'll be 41 before the season is done, at 40 years old, he's got more than four freaking snaps in him. I just talk about buyer's remorse. Oh my gosh. Again, that would be so Jets. I'm hoping that it doesn't happen and we do get an Aaron Rodgers is on the field all season. They've got some great talent on both sides of the ball. What they needed is the quarterback piece. So yeah, it's a long haul, but Rodgers is talking about how we've just got to put our heads down and go to work.
Regardless of what happens on Monday, we win, the headline's going to be, you know, we're going to the Super Bowl. We lose, same old Jets. So I think we need to get away from some of those outside themes and trust that the program, if it's good enough week one, it's good enough the rest of the season. So we got to trust the process.
You're definitely not going to hear me say they're going to the Super Bowl if they win on Monday night. Now, as for the San Francisco 49ers, they've got their pieces in place, right? Trent Williams is back with the team. They restructured his deal. Brandon Ayuk got paid. He's got his deal. Their quarterback is healthy and has had an entire offseason as opposed to last year where he was nursing that, was it a torn UCL? And then the year before where, I mean, he was Mr. Irrelevant. They barely gave him any snaps in preseason or training camp because they didn't expect for him to play. So he had a full off season for the first time, though it did not include a Brandon Ayuk who was around on a regular basis. But I think they're steady Eddie. Of course, little bit of concern about Christian McCaffrey, who's dealing with an injury. That's the one thing that I believe could really derail their offense because pretty much everything on their offense goes through Christian McCaffrey. They do have a lot of great pieces, and you know they're not all of a sudden a terrible team without McCaffrey, but they're so much better with him if you remember how they traded for him when he was made available by the Panthers a couple years ago. There are other games that are intriguing. Houston at Indianapolis, a game inside the AFC South. Going to be really exciting to see what happens with the Lions in 2024. By the way, there's a second Dan Campbell Applebee's commercial that we'll share with you. Thank you to those listeners who called my attention to it on social media because I didn't realize there was another one. But yeah, the Sunday night game is in Detroit where when we were last on scene in the Motor City, they had 750,000 people for the NFL draft. So they are all hype, all excitement, and they should be. So the Lions hosting the Rams, which is kind of funny. The NFL does this on purpose. Jared Goff gets paid. He's one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL now. And after he gets his huge deal, the NFL decides that they'll put his team against the team that traded him away without giving him a phone call to let him know. Yeah, it's perfect. It's what happens. So those are a few of the options. I recognize, of course, that you may not agree with the four that we chose, but we're off and running. Game one, game of the week for week one. We're asking you to choose the After Hours game of the week at A-Law Radio or at Amy After Hours. And as soon as we get to our break, I'll put it up on our Facebook page. Also coming up, we'll let you hear from the two coaches, Andy Reid, John Harbaugh, more with Patrick Mahomes after Thursday Night Football and a finish that featured a pair of black cleats that may have been a size too large. Let's talk to Owen, who's in Toronto. Owen, welcome to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Hey, how are you tonight?
I'm good, thank you.
Great, I always listen to you when I'm up this hour. I think you do a fantastic job.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I think, personally, I know it was a tough loss tonight. They literally lost by a toe, but to me, it looks like Lamar Jackson might be ready to take another MVP home. And I know they have a tough schedule, but if he succeeds in the schedule and look at his yards tonight, he's probably, I mean, he could break Michael Vick's all-time rushing record. I think he's 800 yards short or so. He's got to be up there at the favorite for the MVP. I know everyone's talking about Love and Allen and obviously Mahomes, but after tonight, on the road in the Champ Stadium, I mean, he's got to be up there, if not the favorite, second to Mahomes. What do you think about that?
I don't think they hand out MVPs in week number one, and I know that you're not saying that, but I do think that he's a two-time NFL MVP. Yeah. Kind of interesting because, as they showed on the broadcast, he and Mahomes both have a pair of regular season MVPs, and they came in consecutive years both times. So 18-19 and then 22-23. Anyway, I do think that him losing the weight and how good he looked on this Thursday night broadcast, terrific. Certainly, though, if they're going to be successful, I don't think it's a great plan for him to be running 120 plus yards per game. They made a concerted effort to shift toward him throwing the ball more. He's got some talented receivers around him. Derrick Henry is built for the pounding. He's a bigger dude, obviously, and is used to taking the pounding. So I think it needs to be a more balanced attack. I'd like to see more of Derrick Henry. And then Lamar. Now, part of what was going on with Lamar, he's scrambling a bunch, right? Because the offensive line is brand new. They've got three rookies, and so they've got to find that consistency and that cohesion, because right now they don't have it. The line was really bad, so maybe that's why he's scrambling more and why there wasn't as much room for Derrick Henry to work. So yeah, I think they're a work in progress, but certainly the way he looks, this is like vintage Lamar, going back to even his first MVP.
Agreed. And to your point of him scrambling, that he kind of showed tonight that if somebody else isn't going to do it, he's going to put the team on his back a little. Because,
right.
I mean, he gave it all in that fourth quarter, running and throwing. And like I said, it came up just short. So he's not afraid to put the team on his back, which might lead him to those MVP votes, is what I think, if they're successful.
I mean, it's early on, obviously, and we haven't seen anybody yet. But I don't think that anybody who's paying attention to the NFL since he got into the league, he's got no equal in terms of his skill set. He's already got the two MVPs. And they were a top seed last year, and they made the playoffs a bunch in what is the toughest division in football. Of course, he's got to be on the radar.
Yes. All right. Great. Thank you for your time tonight. Great listening to you. Keep it up.
Thanks, Owen. Good to talk to you as well. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227 at A-Law Radio. And even going back over a bunch of your questions for your team as we kick off 2024. Yeah, it's amazing to think we're one game in and we've got way more questions than we have answers. And it might take us all season long to come up with the answers to our questions. And it's awesome to hear from so many of you. Most of the fan base is represented on either of our social media sites. So awesome. Maria, will CJ Stroud lead my Texans to the playoffs again? Big expectations, big motivation, just big ideas there in Houston after what we saw from the first year between D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud. But not just that, they've brought in other pieces like Stephon Diggs, and we'll hear from him a little bit later on. They've got a bunch of young receivers around him, a defense that's getting better. So yeah, I think the sky's the limit for the Texans. But maybe that AFC South is a little better this year because the Colts were still in the running for a playoff spot in the final week of the regular season. We know that the Jaguars, they completely coughed up and choked away that division title, but it could end up being a division that's even tougher. Man, that just makes it crazy for the AFC. The AFC is thick from top to bottom is thick. All right, so we'll take more of your calls. Coming up, a little bit of Kevin Harlan on the start, the occasion of his 40th year calling NFL games behind the microphone. And we're looking at some of the other games on the schedule. So take our poll after hours game of the week. And if you have a different answer, well, it's great to hear from you in dissent. I do love dissenting opinions, as someone pointed out this week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Mahomes under center, the snap, the spin, the fake handoff, end around pitch comes to Worthy, comes to the near side, 20, got a block. On the near side, the 10, the 5, touchdown! Takes it in, a bolt of lightning!
Talkie, talkie was honeylicious!
Yeah. Second down, long 10, shotgun snap, Mahomes winds up, throw, he's got his back pedal receiver, the 10, the 5, that is a touchdown for Xavier Worthy! Caught the ball, wide open, far sideline, the Chiefs take it in, touchdown pass of 35 yards! And the Chiefs extend their lead.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20, they're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms, bare-chested. Somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Here comes the blue coat, Kevin.
Oh, they got him.
Here comes
they're coming
the blue
from the
coats.
Left. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
Shotgun snap. He moves up in the pocket. Right tackle block. He runs around in a circle. Cocks his arm, throws in the end zone. It's caught in the back of the end zone with the feet down. Likely got it. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Baltimore! Likely, back of the end zone, and a leap holds it down.
The runner's toe hit out of bounds. It's an incomplete pass. The game is over. Kansas City has won.
Every play is nuts.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Congratulations to the legendary Kevin Harlan, who's recognizable voice and iconic style are as synonymous with play-by-play as anyone that I can remember. And he doesn't just do the NFL, though that alone would be enough to cement his Hall of Fame career. But he also does NBA. We know that. In fact, during the pandemic, he was doing it from his basement, and yet you would never know because of the energy and the enthusiasm that he brings. He also does college basketball. So there's just so much about Kevin Harlan that is terrific. His sense of humor, he doesn't take himself too seriously. He's very self-deprecating. He and Kurt Warner have developed a fabulous rapport. But before Kurt, he was working with Boomer Esiason, and the two of them, many of you used to listen to for years. So exciting for him, and just wanted to say congratulations. And you hear not only some of the calls from this Thursday night game, but also some of his funnier moments that we have harvested, and we keep them in our audio files for purposes such as these. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Yeah, quite a finish. It really did blow up social media. I forgot how much I love the community on Twix when there's a big NFL game going on. It's fantastic to see.
Every play is nuts.
Unfortunately, not Harlan. He's not on Twix anymore. But we do get just the nonstop commentary from people who are playing themselves, just not tonight. For instance, Tyreek Hill weighing in when Xavier Worthy took that reverse and went 21 yards through the defense to be able to score in a flash. So you get that, but you also get a bunch of analysts and reporters. You'll get celebrities who are weighing in. So yeah, the NFL attracts shapes, all shapes and sizes, all walks of life. Andy Reid, of course, loves to get the win and start out 1-0, which the Chiefs did not do, actually, in 2023.
Defensive, what a wild environment down there. It was two heavyweights in a fight right down to the end. And when they say it's a game of inches, it might be shorter than that.
When they say it's a game of inches, it might actually be shorter than that. John Harbaugh, more subdued, of course, and trying to look at the positive. By the way, did you see that he called for them to go for two when he thought that Isaiah Likely had pulled the ball down in bounds before the review? He was out there on the field gesturing, go for two, go for two. So with no time left in regulation in the fourth quarter, in order to avoid overtime at Arrowhead Stadium, and I was appreciative of that, but in order to avoid OT, he wanted the Ravens to go for two. So he was feeling good and said afterwards, yeah, we're in a good spot despite the L.
It looked like we had an opportunity here to tie the game up or try to win it with a two-point conversion. So it didn't happen at the end, but proud of the way the guys fought. We're only going to get better from here on out, and I'm looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to getting back to work next week and getting ready for the Raiders.
That quickly, you start out 1-0 or 0-1. And, of course, every game carries so much weight, right? In the NFL, it's so different than NBA or NHL or Major League Baseball, where you can afford a stinker or two and where losses don't seem quite as weighty, as heavy. Andy Reid did love what his team did defensively, though the Ravens racked up nearly 460 yards of offense, and they did have an extra 7.5 minutes with the football. So they also dominated time of possession at Arrowhead. But Chris Jones had the strip of Lamar Jackson in the first half for a fumble. They stopped him on fourth down at least once that I can remember. Also, another drive in which they kept him at midfield and Justin Tucker missed the longer field goal. And ultimately, while the Chiefs weren't great in the red zone, neither were the Ravens. They were just 1 of 4. And so, yeah, he felt like the defense needed some love.
Defensively, I love the way the guys reached down and pushed themselves through the game. Justin Reid coming up with 9 tackles between Felix and our 95. They were able to recover the fumble. Some of these guys didn't have a lot of practice reps, so they had to push themselves as they went here.
So it was more of a bend but don't break, more of a, hey, we just gave up a lot of yards, but we had to figure out a way to get gritty and to buckle up, if you will. Knuckle up is what Mike Tomlin says. That defense was the youngest in the NFL last year. And you would think that with the year under their belts, the Super Bowl win, that experience would be beneficial. No. Lamar Jackson, he's tough. And they did give up that early drive in which Derrick Henry had a presence. Not a whole lot after that, but this was a real challenge for the Chiefs defense last year when it came to running the football, because they weren't great at running the football. That was kind of their Achilles heel, their weakness. And so to be able to take advantage of an offensive line that's probably not primetime ready, and to stuff the run for everybody else except for Lamar, who just kind of knifes through very thin spaces and narrow holes in the defense. For Patrick Mahomes, he ends up with, I wouldn't say gaudy numbers by any stretch of the imagination, but he does end up, other than the interception, which was kind of inexplicable for him, he goes 20 of 28. He ends up with nearly 300 yards of offense and a touchdown. Also really enjoyed when he caught his own pass. So he had a ball that he tried to throw, I guess it was fourth quarter, and it gets batted back to him by a defender, and he ends up catching it. And that actually does go down as a reception. It's one of the funnier things that you see in the NFL where it goes down as a reception. But they have to figure out a way to log it. They have to call it something because it is a play.
And it was huge, too.
It was a big deal.
Well, it was third down with 2.5 minutes left, and the Ravens were out of timeout. So him catching it forced that to go to the 2-minute warning.
Right.
It falls or he knocks it down. the Ravens get an extra 30 seconds.
The clock stops, exactly. Yeah, so it is kind of funny, though, that you see him there. One target, one reception. They actually list it as a target.
Wow.
So great. And then Xavier Worthy, what a debut for him. One rush, which was the reverse, that goes 21 yards for a score, two catches. So he essentially has three touches with the football and ends up with 68 yards and two scores. All right, good work if you can get it.
Yeah, I mean, fast. Can't teach speed, and the Chiefs know how to use all types of players in all kinds of spots. So he's going to be a major weapon for them, just because anything you give Andy Reid, he will figure out a way to get the best out of it.
Mm-hmm. Ricky Pearsall returned to practice for the Niners. We'll talk about that coming up in the back half of this hour. But I wonder, since Marco is here, did you see or hear the Dan Campbell commercials for Applebee's?
I saw it, didn't hear it. Okay. It was on the TV, but yeah. I didn't get a chance to hear the audio.
Well, this will be fun. So do we have the one from... Well, the one that we used last night. So Pete's going to look it up. Apparently there are two. I didn't realize there were two until our social media community told me. But the one that we used last night, it's really funny. It's about him taking an order and making sure that nobody else knows what the order is.
Welcome to Applebee's. Can I interest you in America's favorite boneless wings for just 50 cents each?
I have the 50 cent bone.
Cover your mouth. They can steal your order.
I'll have the 50 cent boneless wings.
I'll have the same.
Perfect. They'll never see it coming.
So that was the first of the commercials that we saw. There's actually a second Dan Campbell commercial for Applebee's.
There's no point in adding the right talent without the right leadership.
We're more than servers. Feel the energy coursing through your veins.
Which is why Applebee's brought in Coach Dan Campbell to take the coveted role of assistant shift manager.
Now that I'm on this team, we're going to have a different level of production. I move faster than that.
Bringing a level of intensity that is as inspiring as it is feared.
I'm all about friendly competition in the workplace.
Anything else?
I'm coming for you, Craig. Next month, this is my wall. We're going to be working 7 days a week. But yeah, we're about to turn this thing up.
I was waiting for the biting of the kneecaps line. That would have been perfect. Although I'm not sure that the Applebee's target audience would have had any idea what that meant.
No, but I'll give him a lot of credit. He's not plastic. I mean, he did a good job of acting, because it's not, look, I know it's his personality, but it's different when the camera goes, well, go. And, you know, so it's a little different. I give him a lot of credit. That's acting strong, but he was pretty good. He was solid. He was believable.
Yeah. He's inspiring Applebee's workers. Forget football team. Could you imagine what his locker room does with that, though? It's terrific. I'm sure that they have gotten a kick out of that.
But yeah, we're about to turn this thing up.
Still though, Dan Campbell, NFL head coach, hawking Applebee's. Have you ever... It's not like he needs to.
Well,
Applebee's?
I don't know if anybody needs the money, but yeah, I think we've seen it. It's usually not the head coach so much. I don't think Bill Belichick would do this.
That actually may not be acting. That might just be him walking into an Applebee's one day and, hey, oh, they just recorded him just talking.
I mean, it is his personality. So, yeah, I mean, look, Dan Campbell's who Dan Campbell is. Which is the best part.
Amazing.
That's
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Part of the reason why this works, and that's why as players follow him, you can't be somebody else. They won't follow you if they don't think it's genuine. That's why the players love him as much as they do.
Mm-hmm.
I got verification on what I already knew.
He is authentic. He is 100% Dan Campbell. I can't imagine there's a fake bone in his body. And he's intense, but he's funny. And he's building that culture where they're looking for something more, something deeper. He's asking you to go all in, which is amazing.
Now, I wonder, again, these are national, so we see them. But, like, does Mike Tomlin have a line of commercials in Pittsburgh? It wouldn't shock me.
I wouldn't be surprised by that if he did some local advertising.
I don't really know.
Local partnership.
You know, we've seen them. I know, you know, Pete probably remember. Like, back in the day, Bill Parcells had one locally with one of our...
Mm-hmm.
See? Yes. You're like one of our colleagues over at WFAN in New York. He had a commercial that was, I don't know, 1993-ish? Oh. No, earlier, because he was still with the Giants. 1990?
That might have been in the
80s?
I mean, middle. When he stepped away.
Oh, in between? Okay, that so maybe in 93.
Interesting. I had no idea.
Again, it's local stuff,
but
so
like,
it's
why kinda, though?
Wow. Well, I mean, why? That was a local restaurant that they were, you know, near Giant Stadium. So yeah. It was almost kind of like they used to go there a lot after the game. So helping out the owner and, you know, assisting with your stardom to be able to help out in that regard. But everybody does things for different. I mean, there's that Chris Collinsworth one that's when he was a player with the Bengals. Yes. That's viral when he was hawking tacos.
I mean,
like, who knows?
Boomer was laying around in a couch in his underwear. So, you know,
I was going to say
beefcake, something about beefcake boys or something.
There's definitely that. I think it was a Pepsi commercial with Boomer back in the day with all the quarterbacks, Dan Marino, John Elway, all the, you know, the big time quarterbacks.
This is Boomer Esiason.
And there you go. Do they need money? No, but, you know, why not?
It's the After Hours Game of the Week poll, our first one. So excited to have you weigh in. We've got it set up so that it goes through Sunday morning. And this is the first time with Pete as well at Amy After Hours. I did put it up on our Facebook page. By the way, if you haven't yet joined us on Survivor Island, people were telling me as recently as Thursday afternoon that they were in. They'd made their picks. You've got a couple of days left, but don't procrastinate because we could run out of space on the island. You pick one winner per week and save your pick. If you don't pick or you don't save your pick, well, you're automatically forced to swim with the sharks. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
Doesn't matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes. I will beat your ass.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
That's about right. NFL's back and the Chiefs showing off their newest weapon.
Pacheco stays in the game as running back left. And now sprints in motion to the right flat. Mahomes will throw it right sideline, wide open, with the catch, Xavier Worthy, 10-5, touchdown, Kansas City, Xavier Worthy, the second time in the end zone in the first game of his career.
Pair of touchdowns for the rookie, that 35 yards out from Patrick Mahomes, ran one in from 21 yards out as well. Ravens, though, looked to have the game-tying touchdown, Lamar Jackson, Isaiah Likely, however.
The runner's toe hit out of bounds. It's an incomplete pass. The game is over.
Sean Hockley, I've never loved you more, brother.
Chiefs holding off the Ravens 27-20. Calls courtesy of the Chiefs Radio Network. Mahomes threw for 291, touchdown a pick. Rashee Rice was his favorite target. 7 catches, 103 yards. Lamar Jackson threw for 273, a score, added another 122 on the ground. Likely had 9 catches, 111 yards, and a TD. While Derrick Henry, 13 carries, 46 yards, a score in his Baltimore debut. But it's the Chiefs with a win to kick off their quest for a three-peat. Steelers dealt a bit of a curveball as they prepare for the Falcons on Sunday.
Russ Wilson was a limited participant today. His calf got tight, so we wanted to exercise some precaution. We'll see what tomorrow looks like and kind of go from there.
That's the same calf that limited Russell Wilson during training camp. We'll see if that opens the door for Justin Fields, who, of course, lost out on the starting job to Wilson. Baseball had ourselves a walk-off in San Francisco.
Now Bailey hits a drive into the gap. Left center field hit well. Way back there, one hop up over the wall, and the ball game is over.
Patrick Bailey, your walk-off RBI double. Giants upend the D-backs 3-2. Call courtesy Giants Radio Network. Rest your scores. Phillies race the Marlins 5-2 as the Rangers 3, Angels 1. Mariners top the A's 6-4. Twins handle the Rays 4-3. Pirates overwhelm the Nationals 9-4. Rockies took out the Braves 3-1. Tigers 4 in the ninth. A Parker Meadows grand slam. They stunned the Padres 4-3. And Ty France's solo shot lifted the Reds over the Astros 1-0. And U.S. Open women's final is all set. It'll be Aryna Sabalenka taking on Jessica Pegula on Saturday. I'm Marco Belletti.
Hey, like us on Facebook. Our handle is INF Sportsnet. That's INF Sportsnet for our Facebook page. This is the Infinity Sports Network.
hockey, and it's a game of inches, though. That's what they say, and that's a great football team, and to come out here and get a win at Arrowhead, it's a way to start off the season. I thought the guys responded well. I mean, like I said, that's a really good football team. We got to see what training camp did for us. We got a lot of things we got to get better at, but it's a great start.
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
Mahomes admits it was a bit of a roller coaster finish there on NBC. And even though the Chiefs didn't perform well in the red zone and had a couple of mistakes in there and gave up a lot of yards on the defense, still able to come away with the win despite that stress. And isn't that what people always say? Let's use the golf game as an example. I was always taught that when your bad shots are playable, that means you're making progress. So in this context, in football, if your bad games, or, and they had obviously some highlight reel moments and some good drives themselves, and we know the defense held when it needed to, but if this was where the baseline is, right, this is one of their worst games of the season, or start slow, set the bar low, and you still win, well, that's good. Because presumably the Chiefs, with their leadership and with their talent, are going to get better. 855-212-4227. We'll get to more of your calls, but I did tease this, so I want to make sure I get to it. Niners lost to the Chiefs in that Super Bowl in February. It went into overtime in Las Vegas. So Kyle Shanahan and the Niners are still out to win their first Super Bowl together. Kyle, John Lynch, and this current tenure. And it's been a while, too, right? For the San Francisco 49ers, they've been around. They flirted with a couple of Super Bowl wins, but they've not been able to capitalize. Well, they're getting ready. They've got their pieces in place, Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams, but they don't have their first round draft pick available to play. Ricky Pearsall is on the non-football injury list, so he'll be out at least four games after getting shot in the chest last weekend. Well, would you believe he was back at practice with the Niners on Thursday?
It's kind of been amazing just watching him. I'm getting to see him Sunday, Monday. For him to be able to walk around and stuff with that happening, you know, talking to people at the ER, you know, saying out of like 100 people, two people have survived that. And to be able to see him the next day and just that he's able to walk, he's coming to meetings, he's doing all that. But, you know, he wants to go a while, you know, a week or so without trying to work up a sweat. And then after that, he'll start his rehab and progress again back.
5 days. 5 days after he was shot in the chest. And you hear Kyle Shanahan relaying what he has heard from medical professionals. 100 people get shot in the chest in the same place or in a similar fashion. 2 people will survive it. But that's Ricky Pearsall, one of those 2. He was already back at practice on Thursday. Wasn't going through drills, of course. Isn't able to play. But this was his first time in public since he was shot by the 17-year-old near San Francisco's Union Square. Interesting the details that come out, too. We knew that he had just finished a session in which he was signing autographs, and he was walking alone, 3:30 in the afternoon. Apparently, he was shopping for luggage. I don't know where that piece came from, that tidbit came from, probably from Pearsall himself. But all of a sudden, that's part of the story, is that he was shopping for luggage. Now, we heard John Lynch earlier in the week talk about the stress, the anxiety, the fear of receiving the phone call about the shooting. Well, Kyle Shanahan gives his perspective.
It was really tough. We didn't know exactly. You know, we just knew that he got shot, and that was all we knew. And then it took us about an hour to figure out what the hospital was and things like that, because he just made a couple calls to people, so we had it from them, but none of us knew where he was or anything. And this was, you know, it's like at 3:30. By the time that we got to him, it was good, because by the time we found out where he was, we got to him. It was real cool. He FaceTimed me. That was like the first time I knew he was all right.
He FaceTimed his coach. Remember, he also FaceTimed the teammates because they were getting together for what was an all-team party on Saturday at that same time. or not the same time, but later. And so he was supposed to be with them, and instead he insisted they have the party so that he could not interrupt what they were doing, but also he was piped in via FaceTime. I still can't get over the fact that we have video of this 23-year-old walking to an ambulance. His chest is all bloody. He's got his shirt over the hole to try to keep himself from bleeding out. A miracle. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.